Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
Wash your hands, yeah?
We've got something.
Ooh. Good afternoon, people with ears.
Now, a new sound. Very melodic.
A nice slice of psych.
A good, solid sound.
This is a music show, is it?
Yeah.
The music. The instruments.
Just like a giant Twix.
The voices.
Guess what my name is? It's Joey Page.
And it's ready to go.
Wow, you know...
Now, play it.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the apocalypse. Welcome to the Joey Page Show. We're still here. We're still going. We're still trooping on. Doing a radio show is a lot like being in isolation anyway, to be honest, because I sit in a room surrounded by... I don't know if they're trying to tell me that my show stinks, but I'm surrounded by three different cans of, not cleaning products, but just like odorizers. There's a like a Glade...
What is this?
An industrial size can of like Dettol and a pet scent, like to get rid of the smell of a dog. So welcome to the Joey Page Show that sounds like the smell of a dog here on FUBAR Radio. And I know that the world's going to shit and all the rest of it, but it's inevitable that we'll talk about it, probably, isn't it? But not to say we're going to have fun with it or make light of it, but let's try and actually just have some nice time for the next 2 hours. I'm on an hour earlier today because we're trying to keep some of the staff at FUBAR nice and safe, so that's the reason for the schedule change. It means people have to come in less often. Though, weirdly, I've enjoyed being in. Maybe I'll come in more often and just sort of, like, sit and do my work in the corner, like, bring your naughty child to work day kind of thing. And in light of that... That I've got the very top of the tree in terms of production. I've got Natalie, the head producer of the station. We're back together, working together after probably, 3 years? I don't think you've worked on one of my shows. So some good does come out of the apocalypse. That's all I'm saying. And don't worry, Billie Eilish has told everybody to stop stockpiling stuff. So I'm sure... That's going to stop immediately. But more on that in the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. I've got so much stuff to talk to you about today. If you are listening, maybe you're listening for the first time. Maybe you've been driven to such boredom that you finally decided to give the show a try. Get in touch. Say hello if you want on my Instagram or tweet FUBAR Radio at FUBAR Radio. And tell me what's driven you. What you've been driven to by boredom. I shaved my moustache off yesterday just for something to do. So I'm completely clean shaven for the first time in a while, which I hate. I've decided it's such a bad move. I wonder if next week I'll turn up and I'll shave my head. Also, I did probably the last live gig of the apocalypse. I did a gig right after Boris Johnson said nobody should leave the house or anything like that unless they have to. And I'll talk about that because I was filming that for my comedy special that I was filming that I've been telling you about over the last few weeks on the air that is coming up. And ticket sales were really good right up until about 5 o'clock when we'd set all the cameras up and stuff. But I'll go into a bit more depth in that maybe later on in the show when I've got some time to fill. But what a strange and special gig that was. Guest-wise on the show today, I hopefully, if he gets out of bed, because there's no guarantees on this, because he is a musician in two bands and also a guitar tech of Kurt Vile. DB, who I stayed with in Austin, Texas, will be joining me on the show to talk about the impact of South by Southwest being cancelled as had on his hometown of Austin, Texas. And we'll just have a nice chat because he's a mate and it's nice to talk to nice people and things on the show. That you know. Also, we have got Sunship Balloon, which is a project of a couple of guys out of the Wombats, his new sort of psychedelic pop project. Going to be talking to Dan on the show about that later on. And shortly, Harrison from the fantastic talk show out of New Cross, sort of post-punk feel to them. A really good band. I've really enjoyed the singles they've put out, and they've got... They've got some stuff coming out and a tour And we're going to say that, you know, all that kind of stuff's going ahead until further notice. If people are coming in to talk to me, we can at least pretend it's going ahead, can't we? So their headline tour's going ahead. I mean, it might do. That's not until later on in April. But we'll talk to him about the impact of that and lots of other things. But yeah, they make really fantastic music, so I'm really glad to have them on. Also, I feel like not as much music is being put out. That is not, like, the machine is slowing down. I can feel it. So rather than, I'm putting in a couple of sort of older songs to down the playlist to make us feel good, to make us feel happy. I will also be starting a little feature for as long as this virus is knocking about, called Albums for the Apocalypse, where each week I'm going to say, if I could only take one bag of records into the apocalypse, if we've all got to leave our homes and go somewhere, what would I take? And my first one, I'm going to reveal that later on in the show. So that's all coming up, along with the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever, Bowie of the Week, and Nice Slice of Psych, which I think takes on some extra importance, as that'll be a nice little section of the show where we can all just shut our eyes, listen to some psychedelic music and drift away from everything that's going on in the world right now. But thanks for coming aboard. It's the Joey Page Show. We're all nice and safe and clean. Go wash your hands in this next song, and we'll be back with the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. But first off, let's play someone that I'm hopefully going to be talking to next week on the show, ahead of his album coming out, which is called Night Chances. That's right, Baxter Jury. I think we finally got him on the phone next week on the show. Very excited, until obviously it gets cancelled because either me, him, or someone in the station gets sick. This is Carla's Got a Boyfriend. Hope you enjoy it, and let's all hope that we can talk to him about it next week.
Carla's got a boyfriend. He's got horrible trousers and a small car. Carla's got a boyfriend. I spotted him on Instagram. Followed him about a bit. Carla's got a boyfriend. A bit of designer hair. Sloppy facial looks. Carla's got a boyfriend. I might take care of him, to be honest.
I've made so many, been so wrong lately. Your eyes have left me lost all self-control.
I'm really in love with that. I'm looking forward to the album coming out. I think, is that next Friday? Yeah, I think it is. And what a great little line in there. Carlo's got a boyfriend. I might take care of him, to be honest. Why not? If this is the time, hey, if you've got some like unrequited love that you need to take care of, now's the time to do it, because we don't know what's going to happen. So if there's someone you've got your eye on, go and sort it out. That's what I say. Right, here we go then. It's time for the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. So I shouldn't have done that, should I? I'm fine. Don't cancel it. I'm fine. So, if you've not heard the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever before, this is how it works. I am going to go through some stories that are good or annoying or whatever in this feature that measures things like a barometer would. We play my favourite at the end, and then we relegate something from the show that we deem awful. And we never, ever speak of it again, ever, ever. So, some of these are corona-related, some of them aren't. Most of them are, I suppose. But just that's the way of the world, isn't it? So, our first one that we're going to look at is Glastonbury's been cancelled. Don't worry, if you've got a ticket, though, you're guaranteed a place for next year. And that's all we really need to say about that. It's cancelled. I'm sure you know that. I don't think you're listening to this show to find that out, to be honest. I think it's widely known, but you've got to put it in there. Someone's had a bit of luck, though. A builder found a piano in a skip. Andy, the builder from Oldham. Now, I'm always suspicious when a builder... Knowing my dad is an electrician and is he's a tradesman, yeah? When a builder says they've found something, quite often they're implying that they've stolen something, right? But he's found Paul McCartney's piano from the Beatles in a skip. He's going to get 2,000 bicker for it, so that's all right, isn't it? Good for him in the apocalypse. £2,000. The synthesizer people, Korg and Moog, both sound made up, but of course we know they're not, are giving away their synthesizer app for free. So if you're at home and you're bored and you think, I know what the world needs, it's some more electro-pop, then you could use the app and teach yourself a new skill. That's nice, isn't it? I've been trying to learn German, but I was doing this before the apocalypse on Duolingo, right? And then I got a bit busy with being on a honeymoon and having to do my recording of my stand-up show that I keep on getting so many messages from Duolingo saying, are you okay? I think that I've perished because I've just not been keeping up with my German. Next up. Are the two things that I'm... Oh, there's one other thing. And it's quite a good thing. The Bandcamp people, on the 20th of March, which is this coming Friday, anything you buy on Bandcamp, they're giving 100% of the proceeds to the artist as a way of helping them through the coronavirus. So that's quite nice, isn't it? It probably won't amount to too much, but probably it's quite a big gesture from them. And they should probably be commended for that. See, there are nice people out there in the coronavirus era. Also, like I said, I alluded to this already. Yesterday, I know this is a bit first world problems, but yesterday I wanted to make a chicken curry. I had to turn it into a fish one because the two supermarkets had no meat, no veg. Obviously, no toilet paper and tinned tomatoes. That's widely covered. But people are going absolutely... bananas. Well, they're not because there's none of them either. But people are going mad over panic buying. But today is a new day and it's all changed thanks to Billie Eilish. Yeah? She's put out a statement. Okay? She said, so I just wanted to So I wanted to, comma, just real quick say. So you put out, who's written this one? Donald Trump. Yeah. So I wanted to just real quick say, don't panic and don't be an idiot. Please take responsibility for the endurance of this. I think she means duration. Because, yeah, you could get it and you could be fine, but you could give it to your parents and stop panic buying. It's not the apocalypse. I'm sure that settled that then. However, she's not even anywhere near the bottom of the table for what's getting relegated from the show today. Chris Martin from Coldplay is in contention for being banned from the show because he did a live concert. He streamed it. For what reason, I don't know. Surely he's not doing that for monetary reasons. But he covered David Bowie, and I'm not very happy about that. So he's right down in contention for being relegated from the show today. But I think there's only really one winner in this, and that is your man, as they say in Ireland, your man Bono, has brought out a song on Instagram. Did you know you could bring out songs on Instagram? About the plight and saying that this is for the people of Italy. But what's irked me about this is he's recorded it from some absolutely idyllic place. So he's saying about how terrible it is. But in the background, you can see like the sea and some lovely like tropical shrubbery. I just don't know if we need him right now, do we? As if things aren't bad enough. Bono. Should we hear from him, actually? This is from the video, okay. See if I can get this to work.
And little postcards from Bubble in Dublin. On the St. Patrick's Day. Little tune made up here about an hour ago. I think it's called Let Your Love Be Known. That sounds funny.
Silly old bastard. Fuck off. Bono's relegated from the show. I think that's fair enough. And he says he's doing it from Dublin. I don't think he is looking out the window behind him. I'm not buying that. That's not Dublin there. That's somewhere in the tropics. Anyway, he's relegated from the show. We always have somebody that is the top of the barometer that we champion, that we like quite a lot. And this is really interesting. Okay, so the band White Denim, who we've had on the show. And if you want to hear the interview, you can listen back through the archives. What else have you got to do at the moment? You might as well. Have decided that in a month, starting from today, they are going to write, record, and then deliver an album within 1 month, starting today. So they're going to write it, they're going to record it, they're going to mix it, and then if you buy it in advance, they're going to send it to you, a physical copy in the post, but also, you know, you'll be able to download it on the day next week that it comes out. So they are the top of the barometer of what's good or annoying for this week. And let's play some White Denim in celebration of that. And then we're going to get our first guest of the afternoon in the studio. I'll be talking to the magnificent talk show. Harrison is in to talk to me in just a second. But here is the winner of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. This is Shanalalala, which I think I've done quite well with that pronunciation, as I've not said it for a while.
I look at you, Shanalala. You look at me, Shanalala. I can't share the hum. What you do as you said, you would, you would, you would. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
There we go. So that is White Denim. If you want to get in on this exciting project where they're going to basically write and make an album and then put it out within 30 days, then get on the internet and look at their Instagram, and all the details are on there. You're listening to the Joey Page Show an hour earlier than usual because of the new scheduling thanks to the bloody virus. It's now time to welcome my guest that I'm very excited to speak to. I've got Harrison from Talk Show joining me in the studio. Hello, mate. How's it going?
Hey, mate. I'm all right. I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Well, you know, considering. But, yeah, everything's good. So you were just saying it's nice to be out of the house. So have you been locked away a little bit? Or
what? Yeah, a little bit.
Tell me about how things are going for you in the current situation, and then we'll get on to music in a minute, I guess.
Well, it's just self-isolating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I live in a flat of normally there'd be three of us, but currently there's five of us all in lockdown.
So who's joined? Is it people's, like, partners?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Because I think people have gone, oh, God, I don't want to stay in that flat. I want to come to a nicer flat.
Right, because you've got a nicer flat.
Yeah, so yeah. I think... I mean, I suppose that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. It's, as opposed to people are leaving your flat because it's a shithole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, is there... I'm not obviously going to be cruel enough to make you know him, but is there anyone that's come in and you're like, oh, no, they really didn't want...
No, that hasn't.
Has it made it better?
No, 100%. It has actually been happy families.
Yeah,
so
right.
I mean, we purposely went to the supermarket, bought a puzzle and some board games and stuff.
Nice.
So it's been all right, yeah.
I think I'm going to get into playing dice.
Dice?
Yeah, so I was in America recently and these guys were playing dice on the bar, but they were all like betting a dollar for every game. And then so then I joined in and I was like, I could just do this for 2 months, so I can just put myself away. Is there anything like this that you've been driven to by boredom yet? Like, I had a moustache until yesterday, and I was just like, oh, I might as well shave. I've got no work. I'll shave this off. Something to do. I'm already at that stage of like, just doing slightly unusual things that I wouldn't normally do because I'm
just
bored.
Wackier things. I've started... Well, I started this morning because I was... getting frustrated, but I started to stretch and do a little bit of yoga in the garden.
Oh, right.
A little bit. I mean, I say yoga, it's just like, I mean, it's not anything special.
Very rudimentary early.
Yeah.
I can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I've only ever like attempted a bit of it if I've like hurt my back or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would never go to a club. Like, I watch like a YouTube video.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't want anyone seeing me.
It's not what
anyone wants.
No, yeah, not about that. But I mean, I suppose I've been writing. I've actually tried to be as productive as I can be. Trying to do as much as
I am going to be, I think, but I was like, this is the first time really that I've been forced to take time off and not, I don't have to feel guilty about it. It's not like, oh, I should have done writing today, I played too much FIFA. Do you know what I mean? I can do that and not feel guilty. So,
but
when I get bored of that in a couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, it's like when you get a day off in the flat, you'd be like, oh, I did just waste that day sat playing PlayStation 4, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, God, I've got to go to work tomorrow and I've not done anything that I needed to do. But the best thing about this is the next day, you're going to be in home as well, again.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
So
you can just go, oh, well, I'll just pick up yesterday's.
Yeah, I'm also thinking about trying to do something that I would, like, work on something that's related to my career that I wouldn't normally do, because it's like, this is, like, free time.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? So rather than just doing the writing I would normally do, try and start a completely different project, just
see what comes out of it. I might nick that idea from you.
Yeah, do it.
What have you started?
I haven't done it yet. I think I'm going to try and write a film.
Ah, nice.
Because that's what we'll need after this.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to think of what's useful. I'm just trying to think of what wouldn't I normally have time to do and I might have a go at. But I don't know.
You're like, oh, I can now write a film. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the band for people that might not be aware. I know that like you guys all met sort of around New Cross and stuff and...
So we all went to Goldsmiths.
Yeah.
So that's where we met basically in New Cross and we called
Club Sandwich.
Yeah. Club Sandwich. Well, as if you know that.
Well, so I mean, this is how long that's been going. That tells you that.
Yeah.
I used to go Greenwich Uni and it was boring.
Right.
So we would always go Club Sandwich because there was nothing to do at our uni. So
right.
Yeah.
Apparently, I heard that it was the longest running night in South East London.
Yeah, probably.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we all met at Goldsmiths.
Yeah.
We're kind of from all over the country.
I'm
from
Manchester.
Manchester,
yeah.
Like South Manchester. And then Yeah, met a Goldsmiths. God, I've said that three times now.
That's
four
all right.
times. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you met the drummer in the library.
Yeah. Yeah, so I met George at a house party, and then Tom, the guitarist, was living with George at the time. So that's how they joined the band. And then I was talking to a mate outside the library about looking for a drummer. And then Chloe was sat next to him. And when I played drums, I was like, wicked. Cool, come to rehearsal tomorrow then. It's it.
And yeah. That's it.
And that's it, pretty much.
One thing I really like about your music specifically, and I think this is something that you get quite often with bands that are quite heavily post-punk influenced, but also quite a lot of northern musicians. It's like a Venn diagram of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that you've got such a lovely turn of phrase in your lyrics.
Thank
it's
you.
It like, gives it like a real sort of conversational kind of feel, and that's what really drew me to you guys. So
yeah, yeah.
Is that something that you've always kind of had, like... Was you like big into English at school, or do you think it's just a natural thing, or is there something in your family that you put that down to?
I did a lot of drama at school,
right?
But the kind of conversational kind of delivery of it all, I'm obsessed with John Cooper Clarke, so
yeah,
it
right,
comes from
okay.
that, and it arguably comes. There's a I suppose.
Have you ever met him?
No, and oh, I would love
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy.
I think I'd crumble. I'd absolutely crumble in front of him.
And I don't think he'd let you. That's the thing, because yeah. he's so nice and he's so like sort of skittish. Like
yeah, just
he
sound.
Just he just takes over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd love to meet him.
Yeah, yeah.
Never had the chance, but hopefully, Dr. John, if you're listening,
yeah.
please
well,
come for a
yeah,
cup
you're
of
only,
tea.
You're only like maybe one degree of upset because he was on here. He was only on the phone. He didn't yeah. obviously had better things to do than coming in. No offense. and then like because I met him at Glastonbury when he was doing
nice.
Poetry there, and
yeah,
he does
yeah.
it quite often, so I mean it's not happening this year, but maybe next year if you get yourself in there then it can happen.
Well, we'll see if you've still got his number, please can I have it?
Speak to Natalie. She's got all the contacts out there. I'm not even allowed yours. It's just like they sort it out. They're the sort of like
yeah the gatekeepers
GDRP or whatever it's called barrier between
oh,
me
yeah,
and
yeah.
stalking all my guests. So how are you feeling about, because obviously you've got these shows coming up as well and they're still far enough away for us to say, but they're also slightly getting closer. How are you feeling about that kind of stuff?
It's obviously a really chaotic time.
Yeah.
It's chaotic for any independent artist, any like alternative band, any, do you know what I mean? Like everyone's
yeah.
struggling. So, and what I'm, yeah, it's really difficult and things are changing every single day.
Mm.
Obviously with the tour, we're still working things out for the time being. Nothing's canceled yet. Nothing's
yeah.
postponed yet. But we're trying our best to make it all happen, and if it doesn't happen in April, then we'll definitely be moving the dates. It will be happening at the end of the day.
That's the thing, everyone just moves everything along
yeah.
a bit.
I think my message to most people is just like, if you've bought tickets for stuff, and this isn't just for our tour, if you've bought tickets for stuff, think twice before you ask for that refund, because it could really like cripple a lot of musicians,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
bands,
right.
promoters, bartenders at that venue. Like independent venues are closing their doors left, right and centre, so yeah, maybe think twice about before you ask for the refund. You've already thought you were going to go anyway, just hold off because it might actually still be on.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
And especially if like, you know, I mean, just saying this off the top of my head might put a lot of pressure on you, especially if like the bands that if people haven't asked for refunds, do something like online that
yeah, yeah.
get their money's worth out
yeah.
of it. Do you know what I mean?
I think bands are trying to get through this any way they can. They're being inventive, they're being creative with ways that they
yeah.
now have to sell their music, and that's the way that bands are always going to act.
It's just like a 3 or 4
hard,
day,
you know
day
I
mean? Delay
yeah.
while we all get a bit of PlayStation 4 out of our systems.
Yeah, I think everyone just needs to like just bear with it a little bit. Mm. Bear with your favourite band at the moment, or that like up and coming band that you're really excited to see. Bear with them and show them support in a time of really difficult. Yeah,
yeah,
when times are difficult.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Buy the t-shirt, buy the upcoming single or
yeah.
whatever, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Any merch you want to tell us about while we're on that subject? Any cracking talk show merch?
Well, our debut EP comes out on, not this Friday, but next.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that'll be available on Bandcamp and stuff. I heard you mention earlier that Bandcamp
are doing the,
yeah, waiving fees. I think it's an excellent idea, and it will make a huge difference to people, do you know what I mean? To bands, musicians, or singers, whatever. I mean, we recently updated our Bandcamp, so we've got new T-shirts on there, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think every musician is doing the same thing. Go music fans, go on there, check it all out.
And so what have you been doing to, like, for entertainment? Is there like something that you've had your eye on that you wouldn't normally look at, or like you've found, like you've listened to something because you've spent a bit of extra time, a bit more downtime? Is there something that you've discovered in these last sort of couple of weeks?
I'm always trying to look for new stuff to be inspired by anyway.
Yeah.
Just for writing purposes and performance purposes, I'm always trying to not just listen to music, watch films, watch telly, like go to the theatre. Like, I mean, it's rare, but why not?
Is there something you can recommend to people that are looking for something to do that you've seen lately?
Me and my girlfriend watched a series called I'm Not Okay With This, and it was fucking brilliant. It was quality.
Netflix, is it?
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was really good. I proper enjoyed that.
Nice.
Been trying to do a bit of reading and stuff. I don't know, like, with all this spare time, I've tried to listen to albums that I haven't listened to yet and read the, like, trying to finish the book that I half finished.
I
didn't get to the
books.
End of. And that's what I mean. So you're always told, like, oh, you should read more books because it makes you clever and all that kind of stuff. And you just get to stuff and you're just like, I can't be arsed. Yeah. So I've tried to pick up stuff that I haven't finished yet and finish it off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool. Now, something, a fun little fact that we've got about you guys that has obviously come from you is that the combined height of the band is 23.1 feet. Do you remember putting that together?
I had no idea of that fact.
Did someone come and measure you all? I don't know where that's come from.
I have absolutely no idea where that's come from. To be honest, I reckon that's our PR person having a laugh with us.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. I get digs for being a short man, but...
It didn't strike me as that when you came in.
That means a lot. Thank you very much.
I'm very judgy. I would have been like...
Yeah. Oh, God. You're really small. Who's that really? It's the bloke from Stereophonics, isn't it? He's really small.
Oh, is he?
Apparently.
Right.
What's he called? Kelly Jones.
Yeah, I've got no interest in him, so I wouldn't know. But yeah.
Apparently Noel Gallagher's quite short as well.
Yeah, he is quite short.
Apparently he's got the same shoe size as Kate Moss, apparently.
Ah, I wonder if they've ever swapped shoes.
God
knows. On their sordid parties.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has to do the Alan Sugar thing where he stands like a bit in front of everyone else to make him look taller. Have you noticed that on The Apprentice?
I bet
Gallagher's doing that.
Defo.
Now this is always in the news, so it's good to get a proper full-blooded Mancunian's opinion on this.
Okay.
Do you have a favourite, Liam or Noel? What side of the Civil War are you on?
It changes. That's a really annoying answer. It changes because at the end of the day, Noel's writing the tunes. I mean, Liam's got some big ones on there. He's got Songbird. That's a quality tune. But then Liam is the persona. He's the charisma.
Yeah.
He's the
like he's the one that I go and see now. Like, I've got no real interest in seeing Noel because Liam's like the show, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
The thing. Like Liam is a showman. Like,
but he's still playing his brother's songs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I don't know.
But it's like, As a DJ of a new music show, I always do like little topical feature based on the news.
Yeah.
And every week it's them two slagging each other. Like, it's like, someone give me something else to talk about, but it's like you can't believe how prevalent that is.
It's just
every
madness.
Week in the news.
Like, I mean, they're clearly making a lot of money off arguing about it, aren't they?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Do you think that could be a way for talk show to go for you?
What, split and then just start slagging each other off?
Yeah, or even like within the band.
I tell you what, if it's going to make me half as much money as it's made Noel and Liam, fine, I'm in.
Because I think people like a bit of danger, don't they? So if people think that you're always on the verge of splitting up, even if you're not, you should just maybe start engineering that.
We might have to start sorting that out. In dressing rooms, be like, right, okay, we're going to kick off now.
Yeah, right, go.
Boom.
Get someone to film a little thing and put it on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, smash a window or something. Yeah.
Your management's going to love me.
Yeah. See my manager in the background. Like,
so tell us about the EP.
It's called These People. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of it, to be
honest.
Who
are these people? Who are you talking about?
Everyone and anyone. I wrote a lot of it, especially the lyrics, like on public transport, going to and from work, do you know what I mean? Like being out in public.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean,
remember those good old days?
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember when you got on the bus and there was actually people on it? So it's kind of from that, but it's not like it's a really deep commentary about society.
No.
It's not that. It's just more.
But kind
it's
of
more observations
way,
of it. It's more of an observation.
But it's like,
of
like
stuff.
I said, the way that you construct your lyrics, it kind of is quite an accurate observation of people, but without getting too deep, because you're just like.
Yeah, I never wanted to come across as being judgmental. Any of it. It's never supposed to be judgmental. It's supposed to be literally just like finger pointing and going, look at that kind of thing. I would nick phrases off like adverts on the tube or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And be like, oh, I could probably work that into something, and then that's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah.
But then there's also there is some like personal kind of one-to-one kind of songs on there. Stress and Banshee on the EP are definitely cases of that.
And Stress, which we're going to play in a minute, has definitely got a lot of these, what I'm talking about, these lovely like little turns of phrase and almost like spoken memes, do you know what I mean? And so you say that's quite personal, because we're going to play it in a minute anyway. Is there anything you want to tell us about that song specifically? Stress
is actually a really old song, in a way. It's one of the first things that I or we wrote as the band, really. It's been in the locker for ages. It's just took a while to kind of polish it in the right way, or just form it in the right way. Not necessarily polish it. Do you know what I mean? It's also not just about one thing. The same with Banshee as well. They're about different situations with different people. But I tried to word them as if it was about the one situation.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? Trying to kind of combine all similar situations into one.
But with the same kind of theme or feeling.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, we're going to play that, and we should tell people that you guys are... We'll read and hopefully we're going to read these out and hope for the best. And like you said, a really good point, like... If you are on a salary and you're still getting paid, and you're getting paid to work from home, which means you haven't got to spend money on travel or lunch, and you get to sit indoors and look at quite a lot of porn instead of like being in a boring meeting, then maybe don't ask for that refund, because you've actually got it all right. You're getting paid to be at home.
Yeah.
And I know people have got like worries of like, but if you're doing all right, don't get a refund just because you're not going to be able to go if it doesn't happen.
The money you would have spent on that prep. Yeah. Maybe
just leave it in there.
Just like
leave it in the bank of talk show. Like I said, this is the only job I've got at the minute. So like one day a week. So you know, I'm feeling you. I'm in the same boat. And if people are on a salary and they're still going to get paid, then maybe you should do the good thing. But these are the dates: 17th of April, nice and sleazy in Glasgow. 18th, yes, Manchester. Which obviously would have been a great, amazing homecoming gig for you.
Yeah, it was sold out.
Still is sold out. 20th of April, Bodega, Nottingham. Crofters Rights, Bristol on the 22nd. Lafayette, which is the new one in King's Cross, right?
Yeah.
The new venue run by the Mumford & Sons guy on the 23rd of April. And then Green Door Store, one of my all-time favourite venues in Brighton, 24th of April. And the EP is coming out a week on Friday, which we will we'll play some more stuff off of in the build up to that as well. But thanks for coming in, man.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, stay in touch, and I hope it all goes all right. And we'll play some more stuff in the build up to the EP coming out. And Yeah. What's the EP of These People?
These People.
Yeah. Right, cool. Yeah. That's out a week on Friday, but this is Talk Show and Stress. Thank you so much for coming in, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good's that, and quite apt. Stress Talk Show, go seek them out, give them a listen, buy some merch, book a ticket for a show, that kind of thing. Really good. Really enjoyed talking to Harrison there. I forgot to say to him as well, I've got another mate from New Cross called Harrison. What's the chance of that? Two Harrisons in New Cross. Just let that sink in for a second. Right, in a about 5 minutes' time, we're going to get Sunship Balloon in. I've got Dan coming in to speak to me about that project, which sounds very exciting, and I'm really excited to hear more about it and talk about their EP, which has got one of the better names for an EP that I've heard in a very long time, Intergalactic Teacup Travel Centre. So we'll be talking to him about that. That sounds perfect. Just a lovely getaway from all these problems. But I just thought I'd fill you in a little bit on, because I know I talked about it a lot on the show in the run-up to it, right? But I did my... So, here's the thing. On Monday, I was due to record my comedy special, right, for a streaming service called Next Up, which is like basically like Netflix, but it's all people's like one-hour stand-up shows. And did it at the Moth Club, which is a great venue and a really good size, and we managed to like sell enough tickets that it was going to be really full, and I was really excited about it. And then it got to like Sunday, and then people are going, I'm not sure, is this still going ahead? And I'm like, well, it's not been cancelled by me or the production company, And then it got to Monday, and we checked the tickets, and it had gone down to like 75. And I was like, that's still going to be a lot of people. So I was like, it's still going to be good. Then the other comedian who was doing it, because they were going to record two shows, cancelled. And then they were like, do I want to still go ahead? And I was like, well, if people are already coming, then I'm going to turn up. It's only around the corner from my house. I turned up. We set all the cameras up. I dropped some TVs off that I needed for, like, the backdrop of my show. Because I've got loads of old sort of TVs flickering on static as my stage dressing, right? And then dropped the car off at home. And as I was walking back round, over the 20 minutes from when I left my house to turn up at the venue, everything had gone to shit. Boris had done his announcement saying people shouldn't gather in groups or leave the house if they don't have to or travel anywhere. And so I turned up and there was like, I think like 26 or 27 people there out of 75. And we were like, do you know what? Let's still do a show because these people have come. So we might as well do a show. And then put the cameras on and see what happens. We probably can't use it because, you know, you never hear of a successful comedian recording a DVD in front of 30 people. But we did it and it was one of the strangest, most beautiful, weird hours of my life. Everybody that was there was like so into it because, you know, they've come for essentially what felt like the last night on earth. Of course it's not, because we're here now and nothing's really changed actually, and there were still people in the pubs yesterday, but at the time it felt like this is the end of everything and we might as well all get really hammered and have a good time. And it was a really raucous, amazing show, and I think I'm gonna put it out. I think we're gonna cut in Boris's speech saying don't come into the beginning of the show and then put it out as like the last show of the apocalypse. So at some point you'll be able to see that, but you will have to pay for it. Whereas, because you were too chicken to come to the actual recording, you could have seen it for free, but now it's going to cost you whatever the subscription fee is to see it. But that's coming soon. And yeah, just what a really weird, special moment that I thought. I don't even know what I'm telling you. I just thought something interesting in it. Anyway, let's get on with the show. I'm going to play some music, and then after this, we're going to get Sunship Balloons Dan into the studio to chat to me about this very exciting project. Someone else that's coming up on the show next week, we've got James Wrighton on the show. We've been playing some of his music in recent weeks, and this is the new one from him. It's called Edie. It's from his forthcoming album, which comes out next Friday, same day as Baxter Jury's album. It's going to be a good day for new music next Friday. So that's something for us to all look forward to. It's from the album The Performer. And this song's about his eldest daughter, who probably, I would imagine, is called Edie. Without me reading too much of the notes I've got here. I'm putting two and two together. But this is Edie by James Wrighton. He's on the show next week. And on the show next, after this, is Sunship Balloon. You're listening to The Joe Page Show on Fubar Radio.
Yeah, I know that you're smart. You're tough enough to take on the fight, but somewhere underneath, are you still waiting for another world? And it's funny how you've turned things upside down. It's just the way that it was meant to be. Does it beg a belief? If some things it's too much to believe. Some days it's too much for eating. Some days it's too much for eating.
There we go. What a lovely, bright little ditty that was. James Wrighton, ED. He'll be on the show next week, hopefully, along with Baxter Jury. Obviously, at the moment, everything's subject to change. But should both of those interviews go ahead, what a show next week. Let's all hope the world's still turning then. Right, now we're going to do something. Before we get Sunship Ballooning, we're going to do something a little bit different. I just thought, if it does all crumble, right, and we've got to leave our homes and run away and live in the wild or whatever, or like, you know, in all these films where they have to like get to a muster point and they all like have to like live in a sports hall or whatever for a bit. Obviously, you got to travel light, yeah. The internet's not going to be a thing, yeah. Society's going to break down, but my little record player packs up into a little handy carry case. I might take a picture of this for next week, actually. Like, with a little handle, like the speakers clip into the front of it, and then you just, like, carry it like a tiny little briefcase. And then I thought, well, at most, what am I going to be able to take with me? Like a little record bag, a little clutch of records? I've got a little record carry case, probably holds about 25 records. Maybe I'll be able to take that. So I was like, maybe be fun to compile a little list of apocalypse records if everything else is going to get destroyed. I don't know what I'm imagining is going to happen, but just hypothetically. Then, I thought we should honour some of my very, very favourite ever albums. Who did I sound like then? Very, very, very favourite. Like Doc Cotton or something. Sounded a bit like Margaret Thatcher. Jesus Christ, it is all over. So, the album that I've chosen today is undoubtedly, and I kind of, a little nod to head producer of the station, to give her a full title, Natalie, because she loves him so much. But this is one of my very, very favourite albums of all time. It's by Beck. Natalie, unfortunately, yeah, it's not this. Which is one of the worst efforts that Beck's ever come up with that Natalie really loves. And if you're not sure who Natalie is, if you don't listen to any of the other shows that she produces and sometimes sits in the studio, she's the person who can't say Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman. Jason Schwartzman.
See? But Modern Guilt by Beck is the first one that's going into my list of apocalypse. It's like the reverse of Desert Island Discs. It's like, if we all have to live in hell, at least I'll have these records. If you haven't heard it, it was produced by Beck and Danger Mouse. It's 33 minutes long, which is a really short effort from Beck. But there's not a weak song on here, right? It's got Gamma Ray on there. Modern Guilt, obviously that's what it's called, so that would be on there. The beautiful but slightly bleak Volcano right at the end. It's very rare that you get an album where there's not a single bad song. There's not an ounce of fat on it. Nothing goes on for too long. It's very direct. All the songs sound different, but also they fit together. Oh, it's just a wonderful piece of work. So we're going to celebrate it, and I'm going to play something from it right now. Congratulations to Beck. He's made it into my Apocalypse Records. This is Profanity Prayers by Beck from the Modern Guilt. You're listening to the Jerry Page Show on FUBAR Radio. Sunship Balloon next. We'll be right back.
Foobar Radio presents
Ian Boldsworth.
Rob Sheehan is joining me now.
So what's happened? Rob Rouse has been invited to stay for a bit longer because I don't see him very often.
Like, so this is
Now seeing a bit, you're coming to the show,
exactly,
aren't you?
Yeah, I'm coming. He's just waiting for you to get it so you can get a lift with you on the motorbike.
Can I get a backy?
That's what I was thinking.
I'd love to, but I haven't got a second helmet. I'll get a helmet in the building.
I'll use like one of these speaker things.
Just use your headphones.
Are you in earphones?
No.
I've never had a backy ever.
Ian Boldsworth, every Monday from 4 p.m.
Foobar Radio.
Right, we are back. It's the Joe Page Show. I have got Dan from Sunship Balloon and, of course, Wombats as well, but he's coming to talk to us about this exciting new project, Sunship Balloon. But welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, absolute pleasure. We were just having a little kind of chat off air, just putting the world to rights a little bit and just saying... everything's fucked, basically.
that's one way of putting it.
I
was just saying my brother's stag do just got cancelled and our tour's looking unlikely, and Todd, the other guy in Sunship, is in Norway. He's from Norway.
Yeah,
and he's basically stuck there. They're actually on lockdown, similar to France and Italy and places. So I think he's getting cabin fever over in Oslo at the moment.
Yeah. Well, but, I was just saying to my last guest, Harrison, from Talk Show, that, it's all right for a few days because it's very rare that you have time off and you don't feel guilty about it as, a self-employed person. But already, there's only so much FIFA you can play, do you know what I mean? And then you're like, what am I going to do? It's like, if they do lock us down, I'm the kind of person that will go absolutely insane.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to get cabin fever, but... I work in a studio most of the time on my own, so I should be able to keep doing that. And I've got a piano and a guitar at home, so between that and Netflix and reading books, I think I'm sort of gutted
that I never... I mean, the only reason I do this is because I'm so bad at music. I would have loved to have been a musician, but I never learned at a young age. I tried to pick it up a couple of times, but it must be so good to be able to play something.
I feel like it's one of those things in life that you can never actually get bored. There's always something you can be doing. Sometimes it comes at inopportune moments when you're lying in bed trying to get to sleep.
And
maybe it's the same for you, thinking about the show or comedy or whatever. And all of a sudden, you'll have something that starts and a song idea starts coming, and you're like, do I go to bed now? Or I'm like, no, I'm going to get up and jot the idea down at least.
Well, me and my wife, we live with our sister. There's three of us. And we've already. About 4 days ago, it was like, this is a little bit like the run-up to Christmas, you know, and you're just like, no one's really working, but you're all kind of trying to do something. So on the 25th of March, we're going to have Christmas Day, and we're going to put the decorations up. It might be a turkey.
We'll get
a chicken, but we're going to have a sort of budget. Tell me. It's all right, because Billie Eilish has put a statement out saying, please don't panic buy, so I think we'll all be fine now.
Oh, well, I had an email from a supermarket saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And then I went to that said supermarket and it was empty.
Nightmare. I found that yesterday.
Yeah. Don't panic buy, people.
Yeah. But anyway, all that aside, tell me about this fantastic project. I've given the EP a couple of listens and I'm really enjoying it. And it's perfect for right now because it is pure escapism. And so if you're feeling a bit bored of the news or a bit terrified, this is like such a happy-go-lucky, fun sort of experiential escape of an EP. So tell us where it all came from.
So obviously myself and Todd have been making music for years together with Murph in the Wombats, and we just had a load of song ideas that were kind of, you know, half finished here and there and had never really didn't know what to do with them. And when we finished touring the last Wombats album, we said, you know, there's a few of these ideas that I think we can do something with. So we got together in Oslo, started working on some of them, and it just all came out really quickly, to be honest. And apart from that, that's how it started. Mm. And then we made the EP, and very quickly after that, we made a whole album, which we've now finished and mixed and mastered. We're just waiting to get it out and stuff. But it's just a different creative outlet, really, for us to have. And, you know, in between albums, I've done a couple of solo albums. Todd's done a few different things. Murph's doing some solo stuff at the moment. So I think it's just really healthy for, you know, bands in general, when you spend so much time together on the road for an album,
to do other things,
just to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, do something different, and then get back together, which we have done. Like, we're still writing
to kind
the
of
fifth.
Stop the cabin fever that we were just talking about in this. You know, if you only do stuff with the same band, then I suppose it can feel a bit like being locked in quarantine.
Yeah, exactly. And also Murph lives in Los Angeles, and they're on proper lockdown as well, but so obviously having that distance, it's not like we can just call each other up and go like, should we, you know, do you want to get together and jam or make some music? So I think from that as well, we've all had more time on our own to kind of just work on different things, and so here we are.
Now, I've always wondered this, is it ever a kind of case where you have to like almost rehearse over the internet because you can't be together? Or would it just not work because the bandwidth is good enough for?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if any bands have actually managed to do that. I think we've done some songs where we'll, you know, send ideas back and forth and stuff, which is, we did that loads, me and Todd, for all the Sonship stuff. Like, he'd send a track over and then I'd write on top of it, send it back, and then suggestions back and forth. And having a studio each really helps with that. But with the Wombats, yeah, we've done that a bit, but you just can't beat being in the same room as each other. We were in LA back in February, fortunately before this all kicked off, and we had a studio, and you're so much more like productive in when you can actually in real time look at each other and go like, oh, that's great what you're doing there, you know, maybe
it's the same as when you like anyone has a meeting over like Skype, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
They're always like making their lunch or whatever at the same time.
Well, having like long distance relationships or whatever, as I've had on tour for years, having a face to face conversation with someone like in a pub or in a cafe, whatever, that always beats a Skype chat, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you can make Skype chats fun as well, but
Well, I think people will be testing that. I've heard all these things that people are going to have, like, you know, Saturday night, they'll just all get on Skype and have a few pints.
Yeah, someone actually suggested that for my brother's stag this weekend. People were saying, what about Saturday? We all, like, is there a big group chat you can do for 20 people and, you know, actually
there
say...
Is it not called Zoom? Is that... Yeah, it's called Zoom.
All right, so we could get Zoom and then all just be there and all have a beer and...
It'd be a bit harder to enforce any rules on drinking games, like...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I think we'll just postpone it, to be honest.
Yeah. Where was it supposed to be?
In the Lake District.
In the Lake District.
Yeah. But there's doctors in the group and stuff who are... Yeah, right. You know, they can't believe in the NHS now, and they said it's all kind of on... it's going crazy, and there's teachers and...
Shame on you for socialising in such a high-functioning group.
I know.
If it was all musicians, it wouldn't be a problem.
That's the thing. If I get doctors, stuck in the lakes in quarantine, no one cares, but we can't have the doctors missing work. So, no, it's the responsible thing to do. You know, it's obviously escalated so much. Like, even just a few days ago, we were all, like, being really glib and going, oh, no, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but
totally.
Obviously, things have changed so much.
So, you said that you got, like, the album... ready.
Yeah.
What considerations do you take into account now with this? Like, would you be tempted to bring it forward because people are looking for more content, or would you rather wait and hope? Because obviously you want people to have a bit of like disposable income to like actually buy records and stuff.
Yeah.
Are you having those kind of chats, or have you got a plan, or don't have to necessarily tell me what it is.
No, at the moment we don't really have an actual proper plan. I mean, obviously the musician side of things is always just, we just want to get it out as kind of quickly as possible. But then at the same time, you know, you want to make sure that you make some videos, and like, we want to put some time into actually making it, you know, the artwork and things. We haven't got to that stage yet. Given that so many labels and stuff will just be having a nightmare with all the current artists they have, like not being able to tour and all those things, I imagine it's going to take a little bit of time. So everything's just going to be delayed, but fortunately we're on, you know, we can just write.
By the time it all gets sorted, it could be a double album.
Yeah, exactly. No, we have started already.
And the EP, Intergalactic Teacup Travel Centre, easy for me to say. let's do that again. The Intergalactic Teacup Travel Centre. Did that have artwork?
Yeah. We've got artwork already. That came out.
Physical copies of that people can get?
No. So we just did it digitally. I mean, we'll see. With the album, it'd be nice to do maybe some vinyls and stuff. But, you know, with a new project coming out, we did just want to get it out there and sort of see what happens. And just so people can hear what we've been up to. And physical nowadays, unless you're, like, really heavily touring or, you know, you've got a big profile, I don't think for a little indie band like starting up, there's any real point, and obviously the cost associated, blah 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 blah. So we just put it up online for now, and my our friend in Norway, he did the artwork for it.
Yeah.
So
it's
it's
really nice actually. I'm just looking at it now. The artwork for it. Yeah, well, matches the sound. It's really nice.
The EP title obviously is kind of ridiculous, but the idea was that the whole thing is just, you know,
but you know, that is exactly what drew me to it in the first place. Like, I was like, well, I want to see what that's all about without knowing anything about the project. Yeah. Like, that's how I first knew about it.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's good to hear. But I think we can all, you know, how many times have you sat there, like, staring off into the distance, like, having a cup of tea?
Yeah, totally.
At your kitchen table, and people are going to have even more time to do that now. But, and I've got my brain often is like, I find it hard to keep one thought in one place at one time, and it's just tangents going everywhere.
That's a lot how I write my material actually, so
it's really good for like creativity, but holding on to one thought sometimes, especially you know, when you're making a song, I often end up with songs that kind of feel like they've got more than one meaning in them, which I really like, but so that was why it was called that.
And do you have any equally blinding sort of titles in the works for the album, or is that a secret? Have you already decided what's
there's a couple of options for the album title. Maybe if anyone wants to, I'll give a couple of options and see if anyone writes in.
We could do a vote.
So 1,000 conversations at once, or just 1,000 conversations, or everywhen.
I like everyone a lot.
I like everyone as well.
Yeah.
It's like an old Aboriginal kind of like phrase.
Yeah.
I think 1,000 conversations is kind of where it's headed.
Good stuff. I hear what you're saying about, you know, the physical copies, the costs and stuff, but I just think for the sound of it as well, I would imagine it would be such like an amazing little package that you would put together for this whole project. Like, it all just feels so otherworldly. It's really nice.
No, that kind of otherworldly, like, space theme keeps going even more on the album. Like, it really is just a journey through.
And is that something you've always been interested in, or is it more just to do with this idea of just drifting off? Or have you always had like a bit of a keen interest in?
Yeah, I've always loved watching Brian Cox and stuff. And reading some of those. You know, what was the book he did? Something Universe, Wonderful Universe. My brain's gone blank. You know, but it's kind of like astrophysics for dummies kind of thing.
Yeah.
I am a dummy.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
You know, try and get my head around some of those concepts and stuff.
Yeah, I'm even more of a dummy. I just watched the Netflix thing that he did instead of read the book.
No, I love those. Wonders of the Universe, that was it.
Yeah, that's it.
And, you know, and various things like that. I love it. And I feel like, as an atheist, like, you know, all the stars and all, like, the universe and all the different, like, the physics behind it all is kind of reassuring in a way. Because we're all so small and kind of...
When I was in Arizona recently, because they've got, like, it's like a protected, the dark sky park, call it. Like, so there's a lot of restrictions on how much light businesses can have, like, let out, or houses even, like, even to the point that cars aren't allowed to have, like, full-beam headlights on.
Oh, wow.
So...
So
you can actually see the Milky Way.
No way. Like, did you see it?
Yeah, like, because it's just a lighter strip of the sky is all you really see. But
wow,
like, there's so many more stars, and it just, all of that stuff just,
it's just mind blowing, isn't it?
I almost have to not think about it too much because it just sends me into like a little loop. Yeah. But yeah,
but you know, in the same way that like that sort of stuff, your brain sometimes feels as endless and as just infinite as looking up at those things. You just close your eyes and it's
the same.
That. Yeah.
God, I think when I start writing my next show, I might have to have a conversation with you because you're triggering so many good things for me. But like you said, it always comes at the wrong time. I'm in the middle of a show. I can't really write them this down. So we'll tell people about the shows, and then hopefully, like we said, a real good point was made earlier on that if people, you know, are safe in their jobs and they're saving money by not going to work because they're at home, then maybe don't ask for the refund if it doesn't happen, because, you know, it doesn't just affect the artists. It's all the venue staff and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
But
they'll be postponed if anything, I'm sure. You know, it'll be rescheduled for another time.
Yeah. So just keep your diaries clear for when it comes back.
Yeah.
Because everyone's diary will be clear. But 29th of March... in Liverpool, and the 7th of April here in London at the Waiting Room are the two dates that we've got in at the minute. And
yeah.
And if they don't happen, they'll get moved. So just keep an eye out. What's the Instagram? Most people, because I'm assuming that's where you'll announce.
Yeah, I think it's just Sunship Balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, might do a little sort of breakfast live acoustic-y session or something tomorrow morning.
Nice. Also, that it's worth saying that the video is really cool for this as well, for the single. So yeah
Marta Brodacker did it, and it's all, you know, stop motion, kind of like she's cut
so
everything
good,
up, and it's unbelievable how much time it took them to do it. But
I had a guy, Ed the Dog, in last week, and he did a stop motion thing. And his label were like, "You sure you want to do that?" And he did it all himself, and he was like,
"Really?"
It's taken him 3 months to make the video.
Yeah, it took them 2 weeks, like non-stop. A couple of people just working all the time. It's amazing.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you. And yeah, I really like this EP so much. So, and I think it's perfect for now. If you need to drift away from the current troubles of the world, give it a listen.
Thanks.
Intergalactic Teacup Travel Centre by Sunship Balloon. We're going to play the first track on there. Up on the Moon. Is there anything you want to talk to us about specifically about this track before we play it?
I suppose it's about how self-destructive we can all be in whatever form that takes, whether it's relationships or political leaders or you know, vices, whatever it is. It's kind of all of that merged into one, and relationships as well. But yeah, supposed to be a, as you say, kind of musically, it's a very kind of uplifting, summery, like drift off kind of psychedelic swirl. But lyrically, it feels a bit more. Well, I don't know if anyone gets the self-destructive like vibe from it. I think maybe you just picture yourself being up on the moon, kind of looking back at the Earth as it all turns to shit. But which is very apt for now. So maybe listen to it, close your eyes, and just have a look back down at this little rock floating in the middle of, you know, the pale blue dot.
Yeah, the pale blue dot that, because we failed to look after it, is now looking after itself by cleaning us all up.
Exactly,
stopping us polluting so we're not allowed to leave the house. There we go. Well, again, it's so good. So thanks so much for coming in.
And, thank you very
much.
It's
been lovely to meet you. And this is Up on the Moon by Sunship Balloon.
Time it wouldn't come in. FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got our first guest of the day in, and he goes by the name Vice Beats.
I've not been on Twitter for years, so like I've now remembered that exists.
So what, did you just find out about Brexit and all that?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Yeah, everyone was like the B word. I was like, what are you on about? What is this? So like, apparently something's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
there's this thing now called being woke as well. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah,
you missed that.
Wow.
You missed
so
that.
So I just thought I'd been awake, and then someone was like,
cancel culture.
Are you woke? You was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's been great.
Joey Page.
I'm delighted to have Craig from Flying Vinyl in the studio. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's a music subscription service where you send people a monthly subscription of vinyl.
Yeah, I bought a box set for you as well.
Oh, bless you.
Recently, our product got banned from China briefly because we had the revolution written on the front of the box. They didn't like that.
Oh.
It's music and it hasn't been vetted by the Chinese authorities. And we had to...
That's a nightmare.
I know.
Did you just like recover it and send it out?
Yeah.
Or... yeah.
It's not like revolution against the government, but
access all areas.
And we have our final guest. You know him.
Do you know how much I love this guy?
Well, he's here on the phone right now. Hello, David McIntosh.
Yo, what's up, guys?
We love you on TV, David. Are you going to do more of this? Because I'd love to see you in the jungle. I think you'd be like the proper Tarzan.
No, I'm not. I would, but is the jungle a test for me? I would love it. Do you know what I mean? But is it a test?
Could you cope with all the bugs crawling all over you?
You know what? I couldn't.
See, I would like to see.
I'd love that. Have you been out with a few snakes? So you'll be fine. I didn't say that.
Yes. You know, you're right, you've got it. High five, you're high-fiving right now.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
All right, so... as I said, I was going to play a mixture of just some like really nice, happy songs as well that I really enjoy playing in my general daily life as well. And there's nothing more joyous than this. So if you're feeling a bit down, here we go. Have this one. If you can't speak French, don't worry. Just get involved in the feeling of it. This is Jacques Dutronc and Mini, 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 one of the most joyous songs I know.
Tout est mini dans notre vie. Mini moque et mini jupe. Mini moche et lilliput. Il est mini docteur Schweitzer. Mini mini ça manque d'air. Mini jupe et mini moque. Miniature de quoi je me moque. Ministère et terminus, minimum et minibus. Petit, 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 tout est mini dans notre vie. Mini moque et mini jupe, mini moche et lilliput. Il est mini docteur Schweitzer. Mini, mini, ça manque d'air. Mini, mini, mini. Mini, 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 mini. Moi je préfère les maxi. Maxi moque et maxi jupe. Maxi moche et maxi pute. Il est maxi docteur Schweitzer. Maxi, maxi, ça respire l'air. Maxi terre et terre maxus. Maximum et maxibus. Maxister et terre maxus. Maximum et maxibus. Maxi
terre. There we go, that's a nice little blast of joy for us here on FUBAR Radio. You're listening to Joey Page Show. Alright. Good. So in a minute, we are gonna do a nice slice of psych for today. Something to take us away, a bit like what we just had from Sunship Balloon. A little bit of escapism on a nice slice of psych today. But before that, if you're a bit strapped for cash, my dad has come up with a little thing. I'm gonna let you have it if you wanna go to these links, right? Here's what my dad thinks is gonna make him some money in the apocalypse, right? He said what he's gonna do is he's gonna go round all the supermarkets to one of the less popular items that, when everything else is gone, will become a very sought after item. He's talking about the tins of corned beef. You know, they come in like a square can. And he's going to break all the keys off the side of the tins, because you can only open them with like a key that like unwinds the side of the can like it's the Blitz. He's going to take all the keys, and when the only food left is corned beef, he'll start selling the keys on eBay. That's his plan. That's his retirement. So if you want in on that, give me a shout and I'll put you in touch with him. It's now time for a nice slice of psych.
Good morning. What would you like to order?
A Welsh rabbit with a poached egg on top, please. Not too runny. Scones, butter, cream, jam. What else?
A nice slice of psych. A nice slice of psych for today, the 18th of March, 2020, right in the middle of the apocalypse. Today, I've got something just to sort of take you away on a bit of real dreamy psychedelia by a band called Wooden Ships, which has got a silent J in it, S-H-J-I-P-S, Wooden Ships. They are coming to the UK in September, and I have good faith in humanity that these dates will still stand. And I'm going to go to this London Heaven on the 10th of September. They're also playing Leeds, Glasgow, Gateshead, Liverpool at, get this, the Invisible Wind Factory, Manchester and Birmingham. So that's something very exciting. And the song that I am going to play is just a real beautiful slice of psychedelia. It's called Back to the Land by Wooden Ships. It's your nice slice of sight for today, the 18th of March, 2020, at 14:29 p.m. Listen, the only thing better than zoning out to that Back to the Land, your nice slice of psych for today, is having a little private sneaky chat behind all the listeners' backs on the phone to my friend DB, who we're going to come to on the phone in a second. But how good was that? Wooden Ships, Back to the Land, from the LP with the same title, Back to the Land. If you just want to escape everything, I don't think there's any better way than that. And let's hope that the world returns to normal by September, because, oh, I'm going to go to that gig and get so drunk. All right, now time to talk to my good friend, all the way from Austin, Texas. We're going to chat to him about South by Southwest and, you know, like we have with everybody today, the impact of being in a band whilst everybody's catching some sort of weird deadly virus all around them. It's time to talk to probably one of the most optimistic people in the world, so it's a good time to have him on the show. DB, how's it going, my man?
I'm good. How are you, my brother?
First of all, thank you for just doing this, because I wouldn't want to speak to a guy with a really weird high-pitched Cockney voice first thing in the morning if I had the choice. Well, so
you're talking to a guy with a very low-pitched, different accent, so
I know, but
it's kind of the same.
Yeah, but so me and Yanina, my wife, we came to stay with you on our honeymoon after meeting you at one of Kurt's shows, because you work with Kurt as his guitar tech, for people that don't know. And since we've got back, sometimes we just get in touch with you to hear your voice and just your words of wisdom, because you're so nice and reassuring and always so positive. So with that in mind, tell us everything's going to be all right, basically.
Probably will. I think any way that we're going to get sliced, tell you the truth, like, it's gonna get weird for sure, and shit might not be the same for a long time. But I do think that we have human abilities.
Yeah, we'll be
all right. Survive shit, you know. A lot of people might die, but
we'll gloss over that for now.
You know, let's hope that there'll be the least.
So how is it affecting you currently, day to day? Because obviously you're in two bands. You work as a guitar tech on, like, you know, massive touring operation. You also live, as I found out firsthand, in a house with like four working musicians, three, but they're all in so many bands. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
First of all, obviously, like, big. Blow for the city of Austin. South by Southwest got cancelled, and at the time I think a lot of people thought, oh, what an overreaction by those guys, and now obviously everything is shut, so they did in hindsight make the right decision. But how's Austin coping, and how are you as a guy that makes primarily his living from live shows? What's going on?
I think by today the whole freak out around South by Southwest getting cancelled seems a bit minor next to how it was when it happened. Now everything is shut.
Yeah.
When South by got cancelled, like, all the venues got together and tried to keep things going and trust in the community to support each other. But, you know, a few days later, less than a week later, nothing is happening. Then I think by now, South by being cancelled is pretty minor.
But then, like, of course, in like the grand scheme of things across the whole world, it's pretty minor. But for the city, obviously, it's a huge. That's like the biggest revenue stream, pretty much.
I read a lot of crazy numbers of what was going in.
Mm.
People were very shaken by that for sure.
And so what's the general mood like in the city? Or is there just not really anyone around to see the mood of? Is it pretty shut down?
To tell you the truth, over here now in the States, federally, you can't be in more than 10 people in the same place. I think everything is closed.
Mad thing is, right, they still haven't... They've said, like, we recommend, but they haven't banned anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I'm not aware 100%. I just heard from people and read here and there, because if I read way too much, and then I get loopy.
Yeah, right. So what are you using for escapism? Like, are you watching anything good, or are you like reading something particularly?
Yesterday I made a linoleum stamp of a press for my band Montage for a cassette artwork.
Nice.
That took me a couple hours, listening to a lot of records.
Yeah. And you've got a lot of good records in your room as well. I noticed that when we were staying with you.
I got a handful by now, I would say. Yeah. It will last. I can listen to all of it.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy it.
That's it. And really, like, sort of do a deep dive into your collection. What are you doing in terms of, like, creative stuff? Are you still doing... Obviously, Montez is you and one of the guys from the Rotten Mangos, and then obviously you're in the Rotten Mangos. There's three of you in that. Are you still, like, working on stuff, or are you just like, let's just take a little break and try and not get ill, or what are you doing work?
We're trying to play the other day, but with everything closing down, Christian, the drummer, needed to do last couple of shifts at work, and stuff didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know, to tell you the truth. We didn't talk about it. I texted the guys, actually, 15 minutes before we started talking on the phone. Mm. So we'll see. Maybe there'll be answers. I think it's both options are all right. Like, if it's just the two of us or three of us, it's not that crazy.
Yeah, right.
But also, I totally understand if anyone wants to chill out. I'm just going to bring my four track back to my house from the recording studio.
Yeah, right.
Just to be able to.
Who knows? It could be like a case where we get a super group format of this just from the people that live in your house.
I was thinking about that. But yeah, I was also thinking about the whole concept of, after this whole thing, there might be 80,000 new records around just from people being at home, and everybody have a little recording situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, already, like, this end, like, in the stand-up comedy world, there's so many people, like, and it's really, me and my mate have got, like, a private joke where we keep on just posting them to each other. People are going mad and coming up with, like, so many really shit ideas as, like, to make money. Like, we're going to do, like, a live murder mystery online. It's like, oh, fuck off. That's not going to be any good. But so many people are already doing, like, so many weird projects. So there's going to be so much. There'll be a lot of art coming out of this, I reckon, because no one can do anything else.
Yeah, in that aspect, you know, as long as it doesn't take too long, this whole thing, nobody will have the excuse of not having any time.
Yeah, exactly. What I also want to ask you about, because in a minute when we let you go, we are going to play some pretty heavy music that I think is going to be so great to blow the cobwebs off. We're going to play some of your Montez work. We're going to play Monkey God. So tell us a bit about Montez. Like, how did you guys sort of start as a band? Tell us a bit about, you know, what influences this particular band, and just tell people that might not know about it a bit about Montez.
So Montez consists of myself and Christian Ziegler, great drummer and photographer.
And he is an amazing drummer. Like,
yeah,
I might go on record and say the most impressive drummer that I've seen. That he's so good.
I'm really happy to hear that. I'll extend it to him. I think I did tell him when I saw him. We were playing together in the Rotten Mangos, which the band started way before I joined it.
Uh-huh.
And we were playing for a few years as the Rotten Mangos, and I started doing some stuff on my four track in our rehearsal space, and the Mangos started taking like a little dwindle down, trying to take it a bit more easy. I was playing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian just joined me one time when I was recording stuff by myself, and we started writing a few songs, and it was really fun and felt nice. So we were just carrying on. This musically speaking is very opposite, I wouldn't say opposite, but very different than the Rotten Mangos.
Yeah, there's okay. like it's very direct and very sort of like fierce, but like really good.
Yeah, but I do think it's like happy and not crazy.
Oh yeah, like I'm not saying fierce as in angry, but just like very like it's very loud and very brash.
Yeah,
it's great
for sure. Loud and heavy, but happy. Yeah, yeah. I don't. Some people said heavy, so I yeah, I always wonder about that because for sure it's loud and hard hitting.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Anyhow, so we've been playing as a two-piece, and that's been really awesome. And I've never played really in a band this way. It's always been at least three people.
Uh-huh.
So this is really a different way to play for me, slightly.
Yeah.
So,
great.
In many ways. Yeah.
And what does Montaz mean?
Montaz, so I'm from Israel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a lot of things in the Israeli culture are taking things from the Arabic culture and progress it, process it, and spit it in a different way, take it as itself. So in Arabic, the word Mumtaz means awesome. I'm probably not pronouncing it right.
Mm. Well, I'm certainly not.
So I thought about taking the word awesome, pronouncing it even more wrong, and doing it this way, kind of hinting to the weird, not good things that my people do, but with the whole concept of, oh no, it's awesome, everything is great.
Yeah, right.
Kind of pointing on that. And, you know, some dark humor in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's about the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the, yeah, Monkey God, that's, I'm glad you picked this song.
Yeah, that's my favorite of the ones that you've got on Spotify.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that being kind of temporary for what's going on.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we're gonna play that, and I'm gonna let you get back to your day. But in proper DB fashion, can you just give the listeners just a little kernel of optimism, like you quite often give to me and Yasha when we voice note you on WhatsApp?
Well, I think we all have a long vacation coming for a while, so better enjoy it.
Thank you, DB. It's so nice to speak to you, mate, and I'll speak to you in a couple of days, probably.
Good to hear you, my man.
Yeah, man, nice to speak to you. I'll speak to you later.
Yes, please.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Thank you.
And bye. Here we go. This is The Eternal Optimist. This is Montaz and Monkey God. Get ready to turn this up and really thrash about.
Monkey God.
Montez. That's Monkey God. What a joyous racket. Right, I'm going to try and squeeze a couple in here. We've got David Bowie of the Week, but I really wanted to play this because we don't know what the hell's happening, and I think I've been listening to this a lot. In case, for some reason, I don't get to play this next week, I regret not getting it in. So this is a beautiful song by The Big Moon from their new album. This is called Take a Piece. So have a listen to this and check the album out, because I think it's really brilliant. The album's called Walking Like We Do. It came out in January. I kind of haven't had a chance to listen to it properly until this week, but yeah, it's great. Anyway, this is Take a Piece, and then after this, David Bowie of the Week, and then we'll all go and wash our hands again. That is so good. That's The Big Moon from the album Walking Like We Do. Strange title for an album, isn't it? Anyway, we are rapidly approaching the end of the show. Who knows what the future holds, but all being well, I'll be here next week. If I'm not, then maybe I've started a podcast or I've died. Who knows? But also, if not, there's about a billion, well, there's at least 200 shows. So if you've missed any, you 201 now. Plus, who knows what I did in a previous incarnation of the show. I don't know what's on the system, but there's loads. Any good contemporary musician, I've interviewed them, or they're too big for me to get my hands on. But, yes, you can listen back to any of the interviews of all the great bands. I'm also thinking about... I'm going to definitely start a playlist for people to listen to. I'll be putting recommendations of things to listen to up on Instagram as well, unless something more pressing comes up. So if I don't do it, assume that I've been caught up in something. But I'm endeavouring to do that. If you're bored, check that out on my Instagram, Joey Page Comedy. But otherwise, let's do this. It's our David Bowie of the Week. It's quite a pivotal one in terms of... this is the last song that he played as Ziggy Stardust. And I'm not saying I'm going to come back as a different persona next week, but who knows what the future holds. This is the last song that he played... his last show in Hammersmith as Ziggy Stardust, and people thought that it was the last David Bowie gig ever, but obviously he just came back in all his other brilliant incarnations. We play a David Bowie of the Week every week because he's just so brilliant. This is no exception. This is Rock and Roll Suicide by David Bowie. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and also tell some friends if they're bored, because there's loads of these you can listen to. Have a good week. Wash your hands.
Takes a cigarette, puts it in your mouth. You pull on your finger, then another finger, then cigarette. The water wall is calling, it lingers, then you forget. Oh, 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 you're a rock and roll suicide. You're too old to lose it, too young to choose it, and the clock waits so patiently on your song. You walk past the cafe that you don't need when you've lived too long. Oh no, 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 you're a rock and roll suicide. Shift breaks the snarling as you stumble across the road, but the day breaks instead, so you hurry home. Don't let the sun blast your shadow, don't let the milk float rob your mind. They're so natural, religiously unknown.